The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and the report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach to their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and saw in the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Suppose you had a friend who was unfamiliar with what the church was. This person had never attended a worship service, never been to Sunday school, never participated in any of the outreach programs or outreach initiatives or any of the special events that happen at church. So in effect, Christianity would be a complete mystery to her or him. So, more out of curiosity than anything else, the person asks you, "What exactly is church?" How would you respond? How would you define what church is all about? I'm guessing that a lot of us might begin by explaining that church is where we hold a common conviction about Jesus Christ as our risen Savior, and we come together. Typically it happens on Sunday morning in sanctuaries everywhere, but it's by no means limited to a building with a cross, stained glass, and a steeple roof. Jesus said that it could occur anywhere, wherever two or more are gathered in his name. Consequently, the church is not so much a particular place as it is a particular people. We share the same faith, follow the same Lord, and profess the same beliefs. But this short and sweet definition of church just doesn't hold a lot of water. It doesn't tell the whole story. Christians share some beliefs, to be sure. However, we are a long way from embracing every single Christian belief. There alone are 900 Protestant denominations. Over 2,000 if you include the non-Protestant denominations. And some are familiar. We got the Lutheran Church, the Baptist Church, the Anglican Church. And there are the Presbyterians, the United, and especially in our area, the Mennonite Churches. There are Seventh-day Adventists, Assembly of God, and Quakers. And that's only for starters. Plus, the question is no longer, are you a Lutheran, but what kind of Lutheran are you? Or are you a Baptist, or what kind of Baptist? Or are you a Mennonite, or what kind of Mennonite are you? So when Jesus took a loaf of bread and announced, "This is my body broken for you," it's difficult to imagine that he would have envisioned the church that exists today. Points of view may be as diverse as three people were visiting the Grand Canyon. There was an artist, a pastor, and a dairy farmer. Now, as he stood at the edge of that massive abyss, each one responded with a cry of exclamation. The artist said, "Ah, what a beautiful place to paint the scene." The pastor said, "What a wonderful example of the handiwork of God." And the dairy farmer replied, "What a terrible place to lose a cow." And the reason for diversity is that we all tend to hold our own opinions. And the same holds true, of course, in our churches. One group maybe reads the Bible more literally than another. Some churches ordain women, some don't. The Missouri Lutheran does not ordain women. Some have open communion tables, as we do in the ELCIC, but in the Missouri Synod, you and I would not be allowed to receive communion from the communion table. Nor would you see many women in positions of authority in the Missouri Lutheran Church as well. There are Baptist and Christian Reformed churches who are in the middle of a big debate whether or not to even allow women to do anything in church. Sad. There are Lutheran churches that perform marriages with same sex gender. There are some that emphasize salvation, others in social justice. Well, let's face it, it's not our beliefs, and that might be heresy, that hold our church together. Because most of the time, the opposite is true. Our beliefs are what tear us apart, unfortunately. So getting back to this friend who's inquiring about church, what should we tell her or him? After all, if it's not our convictions that unite us as Christians, what is it? Well, some have suggested that it's our common work. In other words, despite our varied understandings of Scripture and theology, every denomination engages in some sort of mission. As a matter of fact, there are even occasions when we seem to set aside our differences in order to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless, to care for the sick, to lift up the downtrodden and the oppressed. Perhaps that is not so much our shared beliefs that make us one holy Catholic Church, as the Apostles' Creed puts it, but our shared commitment in doing the work of Christ in the world. But you got to remember, the Church is but one organization among many, which feed the hungry and shelter and feed the homeless. Not all organizations do it in the name of Christ, but we do. And a point of clarification. I noticed some of the eyes go up when I said the Holy Catholic Church. When we use the word Catholic in the Apostles' Creed, you'll notice that there is a small c. And it means universal church. Catholic, small c, means universal Catholic church. Sorry, did I say Catholic church? Universal Christian church. I was hoping somebody would correct me. Small c, Catholic, means universal Christian church, which includes all the Christian churches, both Catholic and Protestant. Some churches like St. James Baden, they've taken the word Catholic out of the Apostles' Creed, and they've inserted the word Christian. It's the one holy Christian church. So, have we answered the question we started with? What exactly is the church? So if it's not our common beliefs, our common work, what on earth can it be? Surely it must be something that holds all of us together, something that makes us distinct, whether we are Lutherans or Presbyterians or Baptists or others. Well, Gwen gave us the answer this morning. In the reading from Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, it's none other than Christ himself. Paul says about Christ, now you are the body of Christ, he writes to the Corinthians, and individually members of it. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor should the head suggest to the feet, since we do different things, you should belong to a different body. It's all connected. Each part is indispensable to the whole, says Paul. And it's a powerful image that rings true primarily because we recognize that within our own physical bodies, as I explained to the children's message, that there is an amazing diversity, a diversity that we depend on in order to survive. Our liver is meant to function differently than our lungs. None of us would want either of them to suddenly start swapping jobs. If our colon was starting to behave like a collarbone, or our ears like our elbows, yeah, we would be in trouble. We have parts that we don't even know that we're not able to pronounce the names for. But if they ever went on strike, well, we'd be in trouble. But they just keep on doing whatever they need to do to keep us alive. But they do it together. So the bottom line is that we count on our individual parts operating, as Paul tells us, independently while at the same time working together. In other words, we respect opinions, we respect perspectives, we respect the individual skills of members of our congregations. But the key together is that we all come together and work together. So the same thing applies to the church. So rather than splitting into groups that think and act in a similar fashion, which has happened in the Mennonite church, a better approach might be that we seek out people who have different opinions, a different perspective, or even a different agenda. After all, you don't have a body, or at least not a healthy one, unless you have diversity. But I know that we're all too familiar with that uncomfortable feeling when we run into other people who look at the world differently than we do, and express viewpoints that challenge our viewpoints and our beliefs and disturb our well-established routines too. But as Barbara Brown Taylor once put it, most conflicts in the church develop because, quote, the brains want everybody to act like brains, and the hearts want everybody to act like the hearts. And there's always a hangnail who brings out the hangnail and everyone else. But it's important to notice that Paul does not say you are like the body of Christ. Paul says that you are the body of Christ. We are already his body here on earth doing the work of Christ. But perhaps we should be asking the question, are we ready to start acting like the body of Christ? Since we're all part of the same body, it makes no difference whether we realize it or not, whether we agree with it or not, or whether we desire it or not. The bottom line is, we are Christ's body. Period. End of discussion. We can't change that. But we can't be Christians if we desire to do so. So maybe Paul is not trying to describe the church. Maybe Paul is trying to define what the church is. Only his definition is not based on a particular philosophy or practice. It's based on the person of Jesus Christ. After all, it was never the disciples' idea to establish the church. They didn't come together the way like-minded people come together with interests and form a club. Nor did they come together the way people with a common passion come together for a particular cause. They come together because Jesus called them to come together and to do his work. The same is true of us. It is Christ who calls us, Christ who connects us, Christ who consecrates us. He is the one who makes us the holy Catholic Church. Small c. Or let's change it to Holy Christian Church, if you feel more comfortable with that. So next time somebody asks you, what exactly is the church? Well, you can tell them. We are the body of Christ in all its diversity, in mission for all. I'm going to repeat that. We are the body of Christ in all of its diversity, in mission for all. So be it.